May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. It is such a privilege to be here. Let me begin with a text and a memory. The text from the Gospel that Ed has just read, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And the memory from 45 years ago in Northern England in a public library of a teenager finding a book and reading it and rereading it, and the name of the book was America is Hard to Find. Bishop Shannon, you have been too gracious to us. Thank you for your welcome and for the welcome of you all. We've been here in the United States since Wednesday. We began in New York, the noisiest place I've ever been. And here I am now in Shrinemont, the quietest place I've ever been. When we were in New York, we were able to visit 815 Second Avenue, and I was able to meet the presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and to carry to him some news from the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I was able to speak with him, a great privilege to know him, and to chime with him on what Bishop Shannon mentioned earlier, Jesus and justice, and on what he calls the Jesus movement. And I'll talk a little more in the plenary workshop tomorrow about what I think about your presiding bishop and his place in the World Communion and the doors that he is opening. And now here we are, my friends and I, with you to make companionship work and for us to find America in Christ. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. The longing in Philip to see the Father and to be satisfied. Immediately after Jesus had said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. Those words which have been used and abused in the church to produce so much exclusion and so much hatred. No wonder Philip wants to see the Father. And we keep his feast today. And he longs to be shown the Father. And what does he mean by that? I don't know what he means, but I know what I mean. I long to see the Father, and then I'll be satisfied. And Jesus says to me, have I been with you all this time, Paul? And you still don't know me. And Jesus says to me, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And I need to meet in Jesus the one who is both more immanent, more utterly ordinary, and more transcendent, more utterly strange than I would like him to be, her to be, God to be. Like Philip, I want to be shown the Father so that I may be satisfied. Like Philip, I believe that may be a step to my wellness. Like Philip, I hope that Jesus will be the finger pointing to the moon. I don't know if any of you have seen the Bruce Lee film. It's not the finger, it's the moon. Like Philip, I must hear Jesus as he responds and says to me, have I been with you all this time? Philip's and my longing to exclude Jesus and the longing of fundamentalists to exclude all those who do not name the name of Jesus. These two things come together as we try to domesticate our God, as we try to make our faith a badge of honor, as we try to say to Jesus, will you please become our property? As we ask Jesus for precisely what in this gospel he tells us he will not give. I will not show you the Father apart from the utterly ordinary and the utterly strange. And tomorrow in my workshop, I'll be talking about this complicated world which doesn't know what to make of the things of faith and all those millions of people in your nation and in my nation who call themselves spiritual, not religious. Spiritual, not religious. In England, we call them spinorels. Spiritual, not religious. Spinorels. And we can see why they want to be not religious, and we can see why they are sick of Jesus the funnel, and Jesus the filter, and Jesus the pointing finger. And for them and for us, the good news of the gospel in this passage of Scripture is that we are to be with a Jesus who has nothing to do with exclusion and filtering and funneling, but who in his utter ordinariness and utter strangeness is the Father visible. Isn't that the Jesus movement? In Liverpool, we say we're asking God for a bigger church so that we can make a bigger difference. And we go on to say, more people knowing Jesus, more justice in the world. We say this to chime with the revelation of God. As the first reading this evening says, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. These are our aims, to serve the poor on the street and to name the name of our Lord and our God. And to do that well, we need all that you are tasting here. We need to step towards wellness. We need to honor our bodies and to practice the mindfulness that respects the utterly ordinary, and to exercise and stretch our imaginations in creative pursuit and to hang out together and to make the first timers welcome. We need to do all that so that we can achieve the balance of which your bishop speaks, not by accident, but by discipleship. More people knowing Jesus, more justice in the world, manifested in a people who connect with Jesus Christ, the utterly ordinary and the utterly strange, and who bring him to our world. Isn't that what St. Paul meant when he said, we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your slaves, for whose sake? Jesus' sake. And isn't that the wellness towards which I want to step? And next time you meet me, friends, I may be 50 pounds lighter. Goodness knows I need to be. I said we'd come here as your companions on the Jesus road, within our fractious and stressed, but not broken communion. This wonderful gift of God to the world through our brokenness and through our desperate desire to love through the pain. It is a joy to be in communion with you and with your church. And I have come here to find America in Christ. It was 2 days ago that Daniel Berrigan died at the age of 94, who wrote the book which was called America is Hard to Find. And 45 years ago in Yorkshire, I read that book, and I kept taking it from the library over and over again, and it formed me that there should be a man who loved Jesus so much as to risk his liberty, that contemplation and action should be bound together. And I read about that wonderful retreat that Thomas Merton held for the Berrigan brothers and for Jim Forrest and all those peace people. And that led me to do all kinds of peculiar things in England for the peace movement and for nonviolent direct action. And when the woman who goes through all the legal things for becoming a bishop said to me in a rather bored voice, no criminal record, I suppose, I said, actually, you'd be surprised. Not much of a criminal record, I said. I thought I was protesting genocide and they arrested me for obstructing the highway. She said, no one's ever said that before. It was because I read that book written by that American, that book, America is Hard to Find, that I was set on the vocation, not just to be a peace activist, but to be a priest and a bishop. It was the gift of America to me, this America that is hard to find. And I want to honor Dan Berrigan in your presence. I was privileged to meet him just once in London. But everything that that man did spoke to me of Jesus Christ. And I know that many Episcopalians stood with him. And now here I've come and I've found America. I've found America in Christ. Sisters and brothers in Christ. Not in the peace movement, but in the Church of Jesus Christ. Believing different things about most things, but believing together that it is Jesus who is the way to the Father, not as a filter, but as the utterly ordinary, utterly strange, utterly open manifestation of God's love to us. And I've found you. I've found America in Christ because I've found you. Christians in my worldwide family who, like me, seek a bigger church to make a bigger difference, more people knowing Jesus, more justice in the world. Friends, parts of America are very dark. Violence and pain is in this nation no more and no less than in my nation. No more and no less than in my heart. The darkness and the light, the shining light of the real Christ transforming the darkness. And I want to stand with you for that reason also, because there is a job to do, to bring the gift of love to this broken world. And God has raised you up and me up to do it. And as we say in a Liverpool song that we sing in one football club in particular, written by two Americans, we walk on with hope in our hearts and we never walk alone. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in whose face? In the face of Jesus Christ.